Hello and welcome to another table-topping edition of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course, on our podcast. I'm AD Packham, and we are massaging your ears with the ace assistance of oldfootballshirts.com. Well, with Newcastle returning to the top of the table after brushing aside Rotherham last Saturday, we had the chance to return to the summit by winning our game in hand on Tuesday. We went into the game with Cardiff knowing that we would be without top scorer Glenn Murray after the FA upheld his red card. So, without Glenn, Chris Yeaton had to shuffle the pack, and we just about got over the line in a game so ugly its mother would struggle to love it. In other news, we've added Chelsea youngster Fikayo Tomori to the squad on loan until the end of the season, and we'll be seeing young prospect Rob Hunt go out on loan to Oldham. And with the window closing next week, will there be any more additions or exits? And the club have announced this week a £150 million regeneration plan for the land just to the north of the club's training ground at Lancing. Today we take a break from league action as we travel to non-league Lincoln in the fourth round of the FA Cup in what could be a potential banana skin after they knocked out Ipswich in the last round. Joining me today is of course Alan Wears, and we're welcome back prankster in chief, Matt Potter. Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
Hello, very well.
So I'm going to take a deep breath. That was a bit long today, but never
mind. Doesn't matter. I mean, no one's used to you waffling at all. It's such a rarity.
But actually, that was quite... I mean, bearing in mind nothing's really happened this week, quite a lot's happened this week, it seems. But I mean, the big news is obviously the IKEA development, but we're talking about
that.
Isn't
it something? Here we are, flying away, top of the table, like no one's expecting us to do so, and we're still talking about sodding shopping. We've got to ask this, Matt. I mean, it's been a while since you've been in, so welcome back onto the Raw. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
How are you enjoying the season?
Well, contrary to, I think, probably expectations, I'm not enjoying it one little bit.
Right. What are you saying, bring back Sammy? Or
No. I was talking to someone about this the other day who's also not enjoying it very much. It's after the end of last season. It's after going up to Middlesbrough and going up to Sheffield, and then the Sheffield game at home. Every game I'm a mass of nerves. I no longer care whether we play entertaining football. All I care
just
about
as well.
But all I care about is ticking off the games and getting the points.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that we manage to tick them off in time so at least I can enjoy two or three games at the end of the season.
Which will probably be the ones where we get slaughtered in, but yeah.
So, I mean, has it got to the point, I mean, a lot of people have massive, crazy superstitions. Are you one of those people that has to do something?
Well, if
you've won the last game, you have to do that same thing again?
No, I don't actually. I can't take the responsibility.
it's all your fault. Yeah.
No, I don't. And anyway, there's enough people trying to keep the aeroplane in the air, aren't they? Doing their own weird things. I did used to have this thing when we were at Withdean, which was I used to have lucky chips.
Lucky chips.
Yeah,
right. The chips were very good at Withdean.
Yeah, they were. And if we weren't doing well, I'd have to go down and eat chips in the hope that would spur us onto a better second half.
So every time we actually looked like we were going to be flirting with relegation, you put another stone on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in all seriousness, I know you're saying you're a bag of nerves and what have you. It's kind of indicative of the sort of sod's law mentality that Albion fans have had since day one, but also indicative of the fact that we actually are. We have such a chance, don't we?
We do, and the truth is, you know, if this season was not following what happened at the end of last season, I'd be loving every minute of this.
Well, which kind of implies that actually you genuinely loved last season until the Borough game.
I did, but the Borough, I don't know, just the emotional battering at the end of last season was such that it's kind of spoilt this season. I mean, when we won League One, it was a fantastic season. Mm. Loved every minute of it. And you'd think it would be the same this season, but I just seem a bag of nerves about
it. So do you feel that sort of there's a greater expectation that you've placed on the team or that others have placed on the team or maybe even the team have placed upon themselves?
No, I don't think it's desperately rational, this. Of course, it's football supporting anyway, but I'm not even convinced, I'm not even convinced that I'll enjoy going up to being in the Premier League. So it's not that. It's just something to do with the end of last season and not wanting to go through that again. And I think the other difference is, actually the key difference is between this and the League One season, is in the League One season we were playing expansive, lovely football and trouncing teams, and it was a glorious thing. Whereas this one, we've been playing very effective football, but it's not. It's been fairly nerve-wracking, and we've won a lot of games in which we've been the second best team. Really.
Well, I know this is going to sound like a really daft question.
No, really? What, from you? Who knew?
But I mean, are you generally happier when we're rubbish?
No.
Because, that is a daft question.
No, it is, because, no, I mean, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people.
I know exactly what you mean.
That, like, take delight out of the misery of...
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely
which,
not.
If we go up, we're going to have next year anyway.
Well, yes. Yeah.
But it's a lot of people do, like, find it better when there's something to whinge
no,
about.
No, absolutely not. And I'm not whinging in the slightest.
Really?
I'm not whinging in the slightest. I'm just saying that personally, you know, I turn up to every game an absolute bag of nerves. And it's nothing to do with the way that really the team are playing or with anything. I mean, it's fantastic. We're top of the league. We're 11 points clear of third. You know, I've got absolutely no complaints.
It's the hope you can't deal with.
It's the hope I can't deal with.
Right. Okay, well, let's rewind a little bit, because it's the first time you've been in this season. So let's have a look at the end of last season going into this season. Now, a lot of people said that the engine room just ran out of steam last year in the terms of Kyle and Stevens. Now we've brought in the likes of Sidwell, who obviously finished the season with us last year, and Norwood as well. Do you think that's a massive difference to last year? And we're not going to have that burnout towards the end of the season?
I hope not. I mean, we've had Stevens had just had a little rest, hasn't he? Mm. Kyle's had a big rest. And we've got a four that we can that you can rely on the multiplayer. I mean, I've got to say, I'm not particularly a fan of Sidwell and Norwood together.
Okay.
Only because I don't think it drives us forward.
Too much of a holding outfit. Okay.
But you know, it works. We won up at Sheffield with those two playing.
Absolutely.
So it kind of works. So, yeah, I'm hoping that.
But it's interesting to know, isn't it, that as much as we raved about Stevens and Kyle and who was your favourite player last season and who the big debate, and yes, Sidwell was about as the kind of the bit part player who's, you know, probably a bit ring rusty when he came, but we got some pretty good stuff out of him. But the fact that we're talking about, okay, Sidwell and Norwood are clearly the second choice pairing, you know, especially once Kyle gets back up to speed again. But by the same time, I don't think too many people do have such a massive problem or a massive worry in comparison to, say, JFC and Ince, which is what we had two or three years ago.
Absolutely not. And I think in their own way, I think Sidwell's kind of reinvented himself wonderfully.
Okay, well, just as a spot quiz on this one then. Out of that four, who's the odd one out?
Who's the odd one out? In what way? There's so many ways.
Sidwell, he's got red hair.
Kyle is not British.
The only one who has not represented their country is Dale Stevens.
Dale Stevens. Yeah, Sid has played a game then.
I'm pretty sure he has.
Under 21, certainly. But
well, he certainly would have done in a friendly or something. Okay, well, especially when he was at Chelsea.
The nice thing, I think the good thing about having those two as the backup, if you're taking Kyle Stevens as your first pairing, is they both offer something different. Mm. They really both offer something really different, so that you can, you know, it's not just a question of, oh my God, we've got to dump one of these in there. They actually bring something to the party, don't they? I mean, Norwood's got a fantastic range of passing.
Yes, he does, which he showed on Tuesday, you know, came on 2 minutes. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit. So in that, yeah, I mean, it's just that I think that it's a consideration I think that everyone has got. With the exception of one place, which is screamingly obvious at the moment, it's just that every position is covered with a backup. And well, we mentioned it last week, and I think we might mention it this week. Is just how lost at sea Connor Goldson looks at right back.
Okay, well let's talk about Cardiff now then. So we went into the game and there was still no Bruno or Bong. Pokudnoli and Goldson continued to deputise. Murray was suspended and Baldock was still injured, so Hemed Park was partnered with March and Murphy in an exciting-looking forward line, and Berham Kyle also came into the starting lineup at the expense of Norwood. Now, let's start...
But isn't it interesting how many changes that Houghton is making week in, week out? And it's always about three, it seems. It's very rare that it's an unchanged lineup, and yet it doesn't necessarily seem to get better or worse.
I would argue... I mean, it's not really any tinkering. It's normally enforced, the changes he makes.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
It's not making them for
tax. It's usually Murphy for Scalak seems to be the first choice one. But
let's start with with the headline news going into that game, which was the fact that the FA decided not to overturn Glenn Murray's red card.
This is where we'd have to look at what actually the law is, because they seem to change it every 5 minutes anyway. But
I was
clearly handball, and the penalty was the right decision. We discussed this last week.
Did you? You'd be greater minds than me. I thought that the idea was that you no longer got punished twice for.
Yes. Yeah, it was a double jeopardy, wasn't it? Yeah. A red card and a...
If it was a save on the goal line, then it was...
Isn't it denying a deliberate goal, an obvious goal-scoring opportunity? Which, if it hadn't hit his hands, would have hit his face. And if it hadn't hit his face, would have hit Stockdale. So, I mean, whether they went into the FA with that argument, I don't know. And whether these FA blazers started laughing into their gin and tonics.
It was definitely handball.
I mean,
moving on. Let it go.
You could argue that it was his hands in an unnatural position.
Yes.
I would say the ball being struck at you from that distance, that is an entirely natural position. I would do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and you too would have a penalty given against you. That's the point. That's what your face is there for. You know, because again, the previous week up at Preston, we mentioned this last week. I think it was Sidwell took a shot, absolutely lorried it straight into the defender's face. I mean, the fella wasn't in the area, and it knocked him out. But sorry, too bad.
Okay, well, you want to talk about Goldson, but we'll do that a little bit later on. Right. But the forward line with that, no one really knew, including the players, what the shape was.
I've been reading on several occasions Chris Hughton saying, I'm totally relaxed about getting a new striker in because I'm happy to play Solly March or whoever in the sort of second striker role, this, that and the other. And I have not once seen that work for us with the number of times we've tried. And this week, nobody seemed to know where they were playing.
I think it was supposed to. What I was guessing was that it was Hemed up top, and you had nominally Knockhart, Murphy, and March were sort of swapping positions behind him because they're all fairly wide-ish players. Although Murphy has had some time as a centre forward, wide-ish players, and they'll all take their turns in playing just behind or alongside Hemed. But for instance, March, when he was on the right hand side, i.e., left footer cutting in, looked hopelessly lost. Yeah. He was much better when he was on the other side.
He kept on getting in the way of Knockhart.
He did.
Getting in the way of Knockhart. I mean, this is the ridiculous thing is that Knockhart effectively ran the Sheffield Wednesday left back on his own because Goldson clearly didn't know what he was doing about getting forward, nosebleed City time. So you think, oh, let's have two creative players alongside that in a way that Bruno would be. And like you say, March just got under his feet all the time.
It was. They seemed to be playing together. I mean, they did sort it out in the second half, and they had more defined positions, I think.
March moved over to the left-hand side, where I think he's actually... I mean, you think back to the... I mean, we know he can do that thing of cutting in and leathering a shot, but actually, more recently, you think the carnage he instilled when he came on against Birmingham and turned the game for us. And he was on the left-hand side then.
But he did... create the first chance of the game, which was I think it was for Hemed, who was sliding in at the far post, where he managed to get in and put a slide rule ball across the box. Hemed was an interesting character in this game. He was always buzzing around, always wanting the ball, and always looking to get a shot away.
Yeah, and we have this rule that Hemed doesn't generally score with anything more than two touches. If he has two or three touches, have to run with the ball, no chance. It's always one or two touches with Hemed when he scores.
Yeah, he also. His shot is not the strongest.
No,
he said diplomatically.
I was about to say until and so when he
actually,
see the goal.
When he actually scored the goal, took it, turned, controlled it, and whack! It was like, whoa!
Well, can you do that a lot more?
Yeah,
please?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, no more left foot swingers, please.
But I mean, we started the game very, very brightly. We're certainly on the front foot, but we allowed Cardiff to get a foothold in the game after that. Well, and then Warnock's anti-football really took...
This seems to be the phrase that was actually on social media just at halftime everywhere, anti-football. You've got to feel for the Cardiff fans. You think if they're going to get served up with that old codswallop week in, week out. Maybe if they're just playing against the top teams, knowing that if they try to play a normal game, they get beaten out of sight.
But to be honest, if they had shown a little bit more ambition, they might have got something out of the game. So they looked decent when they were going forward.
I'm not sure any team in this league can say that.
What do you mean?
Can say, well, if we try and play our normal game, we're going to get beaten out of sight. Don't think that's the case.
But is sort of the way that Warnock has set his side out you can't help feeling that that's his attitude.
Yeah, that's definitely Warnock's attitude. But I mean, it's so negative that I couldn't really see the point of it. The idea that you're going to come and you're going to try and do nothing for 90 minutes, just stop the other team scoring.
Yeah,
against the top of the, it's such a risky thing because it's a very difficult thing to do.
I think one of his tactics is certainly to stop the rhythm of the game, stop any momentum.
When they actually played, they didn't look a bad side.
Going forward, they had three shots on target in the first half. They did one or two.
I don't know how Stockdale wasn't man of the match. To be honest, would have been 2-0 down if it hadn't.
That's
been.
True. Yeah.
Two great Stevens, didn't they?
Mm. Which went down, which was sort of like throwing. Fish at the walruses. It was that kind of low-level clapping. But also it doesn't help that Collins got, an absolute nutcase jack-in-the-box for a defender. Sol Bamba.
You know what? I thought he was decent, though. I thought he was getting his body in the way. He did get the strop a couple of times. A bigger, wider version of Adam El Abd, if that's possible.
I love the way every time he went forward, he had to wait, and the ball went back down, he had to wave to the keeper to hold on to it so that he could spend 5 minutes getting back into position.
It was a bit like that. But yeah, I mean, Brighton weren't actually sort of, certainly in the second half, weren't being that intelligent because the number of times that we kept whacking the ball out of play or miscontrolling the ball out of play just so that then Greg Halford could rev up yet another one. You take it. Halford takes it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, where is he? And you think, oh, for crying out loud, you lot. You think he's taking his throw in and then he legs it to the other side of the pitch. You're convinced it's happened because 10 seconds later he's going to get another throw in. And it also gets back to one of those things that I've never forgiven Neil Warnock for, and that's the 1991 playoff final against Notts County. He was the manager then. And all right, it didn't help that A, we had a really stupid kit, and B, played like numpties. But Notts County, every time we did actually get a bit of rhythm going, every time we did get a bit of momentum going, down went one of their players with a pretend injury, and he played a totally spoilers game. I mean,
Warnock's interesting, isn't he? Because he's been everywhere, hasn't he? Yep. And he must be about 107 by now,
easily.
And so, what's he actually trying to do at Cardiff? He's just trying to keep him up for a season.
Well, then,
trying to build a dynasty? What's he doing there?
I kind of feel it's the Championship version of Sam Allardyce, a man for a crisis kind of thing.
Well, I mean, they've shown playoff form in the last six games, apart from But we don't get to see him week in, do we? But they've done okay.
But is Warnock expecting to be there next season?
I don't know.
I mean, is he looking long term here, or is he just?
And second guess the Cardiff City owners.
Well, let's get back to the game then. Connor Goldson, who you determined to have a downer on. I don't think he was
Bad. Downer. He was better than he was against Wednesday, but then Wednesday were a better side.
But he cut inside and he was looking to shoot when he was brought down. We had a free kick on the edge of the box, which Knockart was lining up. It was probably a little bit too close to go over the wall, so he went under it.
Yeah, he's done that before and failed then as well. A decent sort of idea. But if you are going to do that, make sure it gets on target, because I think the keeper wouldn't have been ready for it. He certainly seemed to be on his heels a bit for it. So, yeah, good idea, but it's kind of indicative of how we were playing in front of goal. The set pieces were going to be our best opportunity. So it's a little bit that sounds critical. Yes, it is critical. I'm going to be critical. It was a wasted opportunity because we certainly in the first half, chances were just few and far between.
But if you're talking about Godson, I don't know what it says about Rob Hunt.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about Rob a little bit later.
Because Godson is not a right back.
No.
I mean, he's not. He'd be the first to say it, I would imagine.
Yeah.
He's not a right back.
He kept drifting into the centre of Sheffield Wednesday, yeah.
Let's talk about Rob Hunt now. He's just gone out on loan to Oldham to get
Which
more
is Oldham's gain, actually, frankly.
Yeah. To get more first-team experience. Now, I mean, there's the old adage, isn't there, that if you're good enough, you're old enough. And you're
How
not
old is he,
get,
12?
And, what's the point of having this academy if as soon as we get someone who looks decent, who we may be able to throw in right back or whatever, is going to get shipped out on loan to get more experience? Just throw them in.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him play a few times and he's looked a useful little player.
Yeah.
And I think a better bet than Goldson.
It's a team game. The other players would look after and watch out for him on the pitch.
Well, the thing is, it's a more naturalised position for him. Goldson was playing, he plays like a centre-half at right-back. I mean, Virgo had this issue, Alamd had this issue. They were natural centre-halves, but it's almost as if you play at right-back first as your kind of kindergarten space before you get promoted to centre-back. But although in this instance, he's an emergency right-back, and there's no way you can ever see his career blossoming out at right-back, because what you've got in Bruno, and this is where I think you get to realise what it is Bruno brings to the team, you know, You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Hopefully he'll be back soon, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You can see the way that the Bruno and Knockaert interlink, and the fact that, well, I think Bruno hates defending full stop, whereas I think Goldson seems to hate getting over the halfway line.
I don't sure about that, because he does try, but he just doesn't come naturally to him.
No.
And okay, well, let's
Sunday against Wednesday, he looked utterly lost, utterly. I mean, he kept drifting into the centre. Mm. He didn't know when to go forward, when to go back. I don't think he put a cross in.
It was better against Cardiff.
It still wasn't great.
Well, we'll come back to this again a little bit later on, because I've got another concern, which is about David Stockdale and the fact that he appears to be, despite the fact that everyone's saying we've got the best two central defenders in the league, the amount of headed chances that we're conceding and he has to save.
Well, that's not about him, is it? That's about...
The fact is that he's having to make all these fantastic saves when we've got a player who's 9'11" and can head away a Fiat 500.
Yeah, I think we're very good at dealing with the long ball out. Not so great with dealing with the whipped ball in, are we?
Yes.
I mean, they're heading. The beast comes to his own when he's rising above some 6'4", you know, 80-stone centre-forward, you know, and heading it back towards the goalkeeper who's just kicked it. But he's not so good when someone's whipping it in.
Because if you were talking about concerns, I thought you were going to mention about the fact that Stockdale, certainly against Sheffield Wednesday, Stockdale and the defenders weren't always as one. And there were times when Stockdale had come flying out for a catch that looks like it should have been a Stockdale catch, and it gets headed out from in front of his hands. I don't think there was so much of that against Cardiff.
And there was one against Cardiff.
There was really the one nice against Cardiff. And also there. I noticed that the headed goals, as a general rule, scored against us, are scored by the player that Duffy was supposed to be marking. So that might be a positional thing. It's not about his height, it's about position in the first place. Although, interestingly, and this is where, you know, Colin's anti-football comes in again, we had a centre-forward effectively marking one of our centre-backs, i.e. Lewis Dunk, which means it left Duffy completely free to bring the ball forward. But he doesn't do it with the same aplomb as Lewis Dunk. I mean, you've seen Lewis Dunk.
Or Connor Goldson.
To be fair, actually, even Connor Goldson. Yeah, Duffy's sort of getting to the halfway line and saying, what happens now? So in that sense, you know, Warnock's done a number on our defence of all things. I think it's indicative of as to how highly rated Lewis Dunk is. He's done his homework on him. And I wouldn't be surprised if other managers would do the same as the season.
Well, other people have, haven't they? We've seen other people trying that, cutting that out immediately. And I think that... I mean, I think it really shows you what a good player Dunk is when he's playing next to Duffy. Mm. I mean, Duffy is extremely good at some things and not very good at some others.
Give us a for instance, mate.
Well, he's not happy. He's not particularly happy with the ball at his feet. He's not happy coming forward with it in the way that Dunk is. I don't think he's as happy with someone running at him as Dunk is. Mm-hmm. What he's very happy with is mixing it. Getting up there and
he's a head it and boot it,
head
sort
it
of
and
boot
it kind of boy.
There's one setting.
And he's very, very good at it. But you know, Dunk is a cut above.
Yeah,
I mean,
he'll take the ball down. He'll pass it. He'll spray. His quarterback.
Dunk,
passes
there are some games where I think Dunk has decided he doesn't want to head it.
Yeah.
He's just going to chest everything down and control it. You know, that's what he wants to do if he can. Whereas I suspect Duffy just thinks, I'm going to launch that back into their half.
I'm just wondering. I think it's been done a few times. How many times has Dunk nutmegged his man? You know, it's in getting the ball away. I mean, and, you know, he for me, I mean, we're now two-thirds of the way through the season. I think the majority, if it was right now, the majority of people voting for player of the season, it would be a split thing between Knockaert and Dunk. We had our vote at the end of the year. But Dunk is just rock solid virtually every single game. All right, yeah. Knocky had his stuff. You know, he had his family issues. And even then, even before then, there were times when, you know, he can't be brilliant every single game. He can be effective, and there's other times when he'll almost talk himself off. But Dunk is just, you know, and even, hey, he's even had 10 minutes in goal this season. So, you
know. Forgotten about that.
Yeah. Lewis Dunk is the man.
Okay. Well, moving on, I've got written down here, Hoylett rhymes with toilet. Discuss.
Remind us who Hoylett is.
Junior Hoylett, the Canadian Cardiff ex-QPR and Blackburn winger, I guess, is natural position. He went down like a sack of spuds, like he'd been shot by a sniper. Trainer comes on, spends about 10 hours walking off, and then sprints on as soon as he hits the touchline.
A classic Warnock tactic.
Yeah. I mean, all this is, you know, we're still sitting here moaning about this. But what a joyful last 15 minutes watching Mrs. Doubtfire nearly exploding on the touchline at our time wasting. It was poetic.
Do you think it was actually it was something straight out of Guildhall or Italia Conti or something like that, rather than actually genuinely being annoyed?
No, I think he was genuinely annoyed.
Oh dear, then he doesn't do irony, does he?
He looked like he was going. No, he doesn't. Looked like he was going to explode at one point.
Where is it you sit, Matt? In the stadium,
in the middle of the West End.
In the middle of the West End, so you've got a closer thing. You can sort of throw your ball of sweets at him, or
you could just bat him with a sweet. You're if right. You tried hard.
You could smell his sweat.
No.
Okay. March gets to the byline and pulls it back for Hermer, but he slides in and can only put it wide. And then Knockart gets brought down on the right hand side. He fires the free kick in, but Duffy can't get his header on target.
Oh, that's and Duffy's doing that a lot lately.
Yeah. This is why I'm beginning to wonder whether Connor Goldson might be a better.
Can I have something here?
Yes,
it's been getting me. Is there's not enough goals or attempts coming from two areas, and one of those areas is Dunk and Duffy are not doing
set pieces
are not doing as well as I feel they should be, or it would be very good if they were, and the other one is shots from midfield.
Yes,
is the other thing that's driving me a bit mad at the moment.
I noticed that quite a lot with Stevens on Saturday. He was shaping up to shoot and then changed his mind.
Yeah. Well, he'll get closed down quite quickly.
And another thing I picked up on particularly was that both Kyle and Hamed and a lot of the other were making these fantastic runs, and Knockart as well, were making these fantastic runs into space, and Stevens and Duffy as well was guilty of this as well. They weren't lifting their head up and seeing that run when they would have been clean through if they'd made that pass.
It is easy to see that from the West up or even the 1901, and you can't necessarily see it on the pitch, but you know, but they are the kind of passes that we were putting in previously. I mean, you're saying about where the goals are coming from. It's basically Hemed, Murray, and Knockart, with the odd addition now and again from Murphy and Sidwell. But apart from that, that's largely it at the moment, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, Kyle came off in the 70th minute in what looked like a plan change, and Oliver Norwood came in, and myself and Andy Bass were talking about this and the fact that what kind of looking at the bench and what kind of change you would make, and we're looking. No one was picking a pass, so Norwood made sense.
Yeah,
And very soon after his introduction, he didn't pick that pass.
He did or didn't pick that pass.
He did pick that pass.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, what we were talking about actually with my good friend Chaz was that if you've got Knockart taking the dead balls, taking the free kicks and the corners and what have you, I'd prefer it if Norwood was going to do that and then Knockart be ready there for the second ball, for the knockdown, that kind of thing. Because, you know, all right, Knockart can put a decent cross in, but then so can Norwood, in which case have him do it. And yes, he picked that pass, a little dink thing. Mm. But Hemed's shot and turn.
Yeah,
haven't seen that enough, have we?
Well, March plays it into Stevens, but it rolls under his foot and it goes to Norwood, who lays off to Hemed at the edge of the box, and he rolls his defenders and he finishes. Are you ready for this, everyone at home? With
aplomb.
Aplomb.
I like the way you two are discussing what's going on. By the time Norwood came on, I think I was talking to the missus about what colour we're going to paint the bathroom. I'm so bored.
this is you and the bag of nerves bit, is it?
I was so bored by then. It was like, oh.
All right. Okay. It wasn't great, was it? I mean, actually, probably the original game with fog was probably more interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no. It was a game that only a mother could love. Yeah. Even then, only just.
Well, you just think there was touch and go as to whether the fog was going to come in this time. It is nature's way of greeting Neil Warnock, isn't it?
Absolutely. But Hemed, to be fair, did some two things. You didn't really expect him to turn. It was a great turn, and it was a fantastic shot. I haven't seen it again. Well, so I've only saw it there, and I couldn't quite work out what the keeper was doing.
He got so much pace and power behind the ball.
It was that hard.
The keeper did actually get a hand to it, and it was kind of...
It would have taken his hands off if he had got fully behind it.
Well, it was one of those goals. You know, there's some goals that are just really, really satisfying. And Thomas absolutely smashed it, and the ball wasn't spinning. And it was just flying straight into the back of the net without the ball, and you could...
You've been watching in super slow mo, haven't you?
And you could see the name Mitre on the ball until the keeper got the hand to it and it started spinning.
God, dear, the thing. You've watched this a few times then, have you? No, it was an excellent turn and an excellent smash. And I'd say the keeper, you know, it was past him before he really reacted. I mean, he just sort of stuck his hand out, hoping it might have got the right way. But I genuinely think that Hemed just smashed it towards the goal, hoping it was going to go in, because there's no way he placed it, because it could have actually smashed the keeper in the face. So, great finish. And then we've got the hilarious, as we mentioned earlier, time wasting.
It's great.
It's great. They started time wasting from 7 minutes, the whole nonsense, and then, Stockdale was doing it. I think it was
Stockdale was magnificent.
To be honest, I do think that actually the ref realised, well, I didn't book anyone in the first half.
Yeah. Oh, this is Keith Stroud. He's booked 180 people this season. Yeah.
In how many games?
One.
All right. you think there's no way you can do it. And also, we did actually, for the second game running, have a cap we had to doff to the ball boy,
excellent ball boy.
Yes.
The one in the far corner.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bravo, son.
To follow up the Sheffield Wednesday lad who just rolled it slowly. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on from the game and talk about the more important stat of that, which left us top of the league. Going into, when I was writing this initially, we were 11 points clear. It's now only 9 points clear of third place Leeds, but they have played a game more.
Yeah, and they're going to catch us because they're massive Leeds. Oh, no, hang on, no, they're not. They were awful when they came down here.
Are we going to talk about that thing you were on Twitter yesterday? Just go on Twitter.
It was actually some kid who's got a Leeds United podcast, and Brighton are going to... Brighton have had it easy. He said, we've had a nightmare time lead since we've got relegated, and we've had such a torrid time. Brighton and Newcastle have had it easy. And I think this kid, he must only be about 20. I think Alan, somewhere didn't actually know Alan, their history.
Alan, you called him Poppet.
I did call him Poppet. I did. It was something along the lines of, yes, going down to the third tier. Going down to the third tier must have been hard for you, Poppet, but nearly going out of existence was easy for us.
Okay. Well, let's move it on then to 11 points clear, or 9, depending on what.
Well, it is 9, isn't it?
That's a massive gap, and it's
3 games, isn't it?
Does that put more pressure on us?
To extend the lead, yes. Because we just want to... I'll tell you, we want to be out of sight. We want to look over our shoulders and not see anyone. Well, Newcastle are going to be there, but...
You'd be really hard-pushed to be in a better position at this stage of the season. How many times has this happened where two teams have been so far ahead?
Yeah.
I know, but we're football supporters. We're all waiting for it to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's... What we've got, 18 games left, is it now?
Something like that,
18 games left, and...
Is that including the FA Cup final? Okay, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We are brought to you as ever in association with oldfootballshirts.com, and I'm just passing this lovely shirt over to Matthew Potter in the corner there.
Good grief.
Thank you very much indeed.
Good grief. What's that? It's yellow and green checks there.
I'm going to have to put my glasses on.
Okay, so you might not want to.
it's not nice.
Inducing an epileptic fit in me.
It looks like TV interference. I think that.
If you could just describe that before you
move. I could. It's a Fila shirt. It's a green and yellow checkerboard of squares with Homerson Casinos sponsoring it. It's got a badge on it which appears to have a thistle. Looks like a thistle.
I'm going something
Hibernian.
Oh, Phil, because you only ever do low res things here, don't you? So, is it a thistle? I think it's actually blotted out football, so it could be absolutely anywhere. I am going to say, I've no idea where Homerson is, so I'm going to say something Danish.
No.
Go on then.
Okay, here you go then. This is a 2003 home shirt from Dutch side ADO Den Haag.
All right.
ADO are the closest team to the town of Leiden, which is where Swedish flat-packed furniture and meatball giant IKEA have their headquarters. Why IKEA moved to Holland, nobody is quite sure. But the corporate tax rate in the Netherlands is lower than anywhere else in Europe.
I think there's your answer.
Let that one hang. Where were we? Alstor Offening Den Haag, more commonly known by the abbreviated version of ADO. They come from the city of The Hague. The club, for a long time, was known as FC Den Haag, with ADO representing the amateur branch of the club. Despite being from one of the traditional three large Dutch cities, it's not been able to match that AFC, Ajax, Feyenoord or PSV in terms of success in the Eredivisie or in European competition. On the 1st of February 1905, Alstor Offening, ADO, was founded in a cafe, Het Hof van Belgien.
I hate you, Phil.
Now de Pap in The Hague. In the first years of his existence, the club endured some difficult times as many members refused to pay their fees and the sport of cricket was more popular in the city.
I can well believe that, actually. And in fact, an old work colleague of mine actually went over and was a coach for the Royal Dutch Cricket Club. In The Hague for a few years.
Yeah. So they play at the 15,000 capacity Kalachella Stadion, and it's used for both football and field hockey and was the venue for the 2014 Hockey World Cup. Former Seagull Danny Holler played 54 games for ADO, scoring 14 times before signing for us in 2014.
There 56 times 14 goals?
54 games, 14 goals, yeah.
Wow.
I was in The Hague when Holland lost their World Cup or European Cup final against Spain.
Right.
And they all rioted.
Brilliant.
Which was very, very kind of un-Dutch, but it was...
Really?
Yeah.
The games against Oh, no, The Hague... I understand The Hague lot are really proper sort of mental top boys. Right. Yeah, but it kicks off probably when it's PSV against Ajax, but... not PSV, sorry, Feyenoord and Ajax. That's when it goes proper head mental.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, there was obviously a link there.
Verna, if we've got that wrong, do apologise.
But there was obviously a link there to what's happening
IKEA.
At Monk's Farm.
It's part of Martin Perry's super grand plan to concrete over the South Downs.
It's a brownfield site anyway.
Yes,
so
I know. It's a swamp, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. Well, I think the club were more concerned about the flooding issues of anything being built there. So, obviously, with having...
So is IKEA
million,
going up on stilts then?
I think that's exactly what it is. And they're going to import crocodiles and all sorts of stuff. It's going to be great.
Well, they're improving... Because I live right by here, so... they're improving the flood defences along the river as we speak.
Mm.
Yeah. And also, I heard someone talking about the possibility of a pumping station on this thing to pump out.
Excess drainage, too much fluid.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to need it.
It's going to need it. You can't build there unless you've dealt with it.
It's an amazing ruse by the football club to have their name associated with the whole thing as well. I mean, obviously, it's right next to the training ground, and we're concerned about the flooding. So they thought, right, we'll develop it ourselves then.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do is improve the road around there. And IKEA have been looking to move into Sussex for a very, very, very long time.
I cannot believe the Albion Roar is talking about flat pack shopping. I really can't. Carry on, mate. Sorry, go on.
Look, it means people don't have to go to Castle Grayskull anymore.
Well,
it's
yes. I've been to that Croydon IKEA. It's not actually in Croydon, but you do feel as though you need to have your jabs when you go in there first. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. People are interested in, people are keen to go to that particular neck of the woods. It will bring some money into the local economy. And if it makes Tony Bloom a few quid... on the back of it, because I think, as I understand it, it's New Monk's Farm development, which is an offshoot of the Albion shareholding company, which was, I think, unless, this is where we wanted Martin Perry, and sorry, we got Matt Potter, I do apologise, everyone. We got the original Albion holding company was actually set up by Bill Archer. It was an off-the-shelf company, 4A585, which then Dick Knight then took over, and that is the Albion's shareholding stakeholder company. But yes, so you've got New Monk's Farm is the developer here. And if Tony's going to plough a few quid in and get a few more quid back on the back of something which the Albion have been involved with, I mean, it's not an Albion development as such, but if Tony's going to get a few quid, good luck to him, because let's face it, he is... we're in hock to him for a few quid, isn't that?
Well, Tony has made a lot of his fortune through property developing, so he knows a thing or two about it. So I mean, it's going to be fantastic. We are going to get Martin in here hopefully to talk about it. So we're going
absolutely
a bit more about that. And
I was reading it's going to safeguard the airport. Being there, they're going to build. Yep. They're going to build some warehouse in there and stuff. That may improve it, but you know, I think it's great for there. I've got to say, I mean, I live right by it, so I think it's good. The area could do with the jobs.
About 1,000 jobs it's going to create.
Yeah, it could do with the housing. They're going to build a school, which is great. I mean, the school situation around there is not great. Even on Shoreham Beach, which is where I live, the school isn't big enough to take all the kids from Shoreham Beach. Right. So that would be great as well.
Is there anything can be done with the runway? I don't think it really can be lengthened, can it? I mean, you're not going to get it's not going to be an international airport anytime soon, is it, as such?
You can fly to France from there. That's international.
Yeah. Well, the Isle of Wight, and that's about it then, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be interesting. Your point you're saying at the top of the show about Martin Perry retiring, not happening. There was this ludicrous notion from a few people once upon a time, about 10 years ago, that he deliberately spiked the stadium application just so he'd keep his job for a little bit longer. I mean, that's straight out of Trump town, isn't it?
I'd like to ask him what's happening with the hotel as well.
Of course,
sure they'll go back to it eventually.
I'm sure they will.
The interesting thing for me about the Monk's Green Farm thing is that there hasn't been any instant kind of objection to it.
There's no screaming.
No screaming and shouting and dissenting. By and large, everyone around me has been going, yeah, good idea.
To be honest, if it was a football stadium, you can guarantee there would be.
Oh, God, yes.
But because it's IKEA, they go, ooh.
Yeah. Well, there was a bit of brouhaha about the training ground, but when they got to realise that, you know, the local businesses themselves would benefit from it, whether they have or not, but the whole intention was is that they'd have local suppliers for it. So, yeah, like I say, if it brings jobs to the areas to the area, then fantastic.
That's the massive thing. Okay, so moving on to the window closes this week, chaps. And so far, we haven't brought in this striker. Chris has said that he's happy to wait till last minute if necessary. How urgent is it we do get another striker?
Well, I don't know. You can argue either way. But what I would say is, if we do not go up this season from this position because we didn't get a striker. I don't think anyone involved in this club will ever forgive themselves.
There is that. But then you do have to get the right striker in, and we know that they don't come cheap.
Yeah, I mean, there's been all sorts of rumours going around.
We can
get
any striker we want, to be honest, but they've got to be good enough.
Well, it's a very good bargaining tool going into the last week of the window for the...
Yeah, have you seen what position we're in the table, lads?
We're here. We're number one.
Yeah,
9 points clear of there with a game in hand on them. It's looking particularly good.
I mean, this is the interesting point about Hourihan, for instance. He's just left Barnsley to go to Aston Villa, and this is a team that's actually going to be in the Championship next year. Mm. If anything, at the moment, the way that the two suits are.
I mean, I have, and I know that you have. I mean, I've spoken to players and ex-players who say the problem is we do not spend the money. The reason he's going to Villa is they will pay a lot
They've
more
got
money
the money,
than
yeah. No, well, that's the only reason. They're
tripling his weekly wage.
Yeah, but the point is that if the Albion were interested, don't know if he's a local lad, wouldn't want to move south, fine, fair enough. But if he just looks at the table, you think, well, actually, you can help us actually grab
but
us over the line.
He's not going to, is he? He's going to look at, ooh, triple my wages. Thank you very much.
So I mean, we don't really do speculation here, but who would you actually like that, out there that is available?
Messi isn't available, is he?
No. Oh. To be honest, I don't know. I'd tell you what sort of player I'd like.
Go on.
I'd like someone who can play behind either Hemed or
so more of a bulldog type
striker.
Ashley Barnes type striker.
An Ashley Barnes type striker.
Is he available?
Said it.
Probably not.
He hasn't been playing though. Has he been injured?
He's back.
No, he did play. Yeah,
he's back. Is he?
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I mean, everyone talks about Jordan Rhodes. I mean, that seems to be.
No,
I know. It seems to be a common
denominator.
Or Ross McCormack every single
year.
Season.
Every year, every season, someone goes and spends 12 million quid on one of those two, and it doesn't do them any good.
Correct.
I don't want to do that.
I think we can close the gates on Ross McCormack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has Hogan gone somewhere yet?
He's likely to go to West Ham.
Hogan, we're not going to get.
No.
I have that absolutely from the horse's
mouth. Well, there was talk
the
of...
man himself.
The man himself, earlier in the season. I mean, you won't mind me saying it, I expect. We're talking to Tony on the way back on the train, and we were talking about Hogan, and he said, Hogan will go for too much money to someone bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. There's been talk of Naki Wells. He's another striker of that type.
Yeah, I don't know Naki Wells.
And Huddersfield, and there's...
I think we're talking about players actually that tore us apart, to be honest, and Hogan did just that.
I can't remember the guy's name now. There's the guy at Rotherham as well, who's scoring a lot of goals.
Is that Ward?
Danny Ward, yeah. We really don't know. But
the other thing is, getting a striker in, if you want to get someone in, it's someone who's not going to necessarily be a first-choice striker. They'll probably get a few games on as a sub.
But well, ideally, you'd like to get a first-choice striker, wouldn't you?
Well, yes. Yeah, good luck with that one.
And have Bulldog as your backup.
Well, yeah. I mean, you always want to buy as good as, or if not better. But, yeah. You know, we're struggling to get someone who's nearly as good at the moment. Mm. So,
but if we fail to land a Fomenti striker, is there anyone in the development squad you think could actually step up?
Probably not, because otherwise they would have done by now.
In the first place.
Yeah, no. That's the answer to that. And I honestly believe if they don't, then we will be reliant on two of the three we've got remaining fit for the rest of the season. Because if we are to rely on Murphy as a backup or whatever, that's just...
Well, it's interesting that Richie Towell isn't being thrown in. I mean, literally thrown the towel.
Who knows? I mean...
He was mediocre against Milton Keynes Dons.
It was. We'll get more of a... Maybe we'll get to see him tomorrow.
You see, I disagree. I thought
he was all right. Actually,
I thought he was okay against MK. I thought he was buzzing around. He was always hungry for the ball, and I thought that he was always trying to look for.
He was
the
definitely
shot.
Always hungry for it, wasn't he? He was always showing himself, making himself available.
But somewhere down the line, Houghton isn't sticking him on the bench at the moment. So, and that's when we're Tuesday.
Houghton sees him as a midfield player, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and he's never going to get him as a midfield player.
Well, you know, he scored goals all throughout his career, so maybe it may be a chance for him if we don't get someone. Okay, one player we have brought in is Fikai Otomori. Do you know what his full name is?
It's huge. I know it's huge.
Are you really? Are you where you? Yeah, where you don't have to? Are you going to really try?
Yep.
Go on then.
Have you seen it?
No,
I have.
Good. Is it Keith?
It's Keith. It's Oluwafikiyomi, Oluwadimayola, Fikai Otomori.
Park life.
And so he's come on loan from Chelsea. Now, we were talking about Rob Hunt going out. My concern is that we're bringing in a 19-year-old to replace a 19-year-old we've already got.
Well, I'm guess that he is probably considered to be better then.
Well, he has actually played in the Premier League for Chelsea. He made his debut in the last game of the season against Leicester, coming on in the 60th minute for Ivanovic in that game. He won the FA Youth Cup with them last year as well. And that team has been seen to be one that could actually see some future stars.
But the fact we've got a right back in and let Rob Hunt go also seems to imply that Bruno is not going to be back just yet. I mean, all right, we've got the FA Cup. Sorry, today. It's not tomorrow now. We've got the FA Cup, and if he's going to be brought in for that, and we've got until Thursday to get Bruno unbroken.
Well, if only we had another right-back that's going to be available soon.
Rosinio.
Yeah, and that's, according to Andy Naylor, that's going to be a little while longer yet anyway. So he's not repairing as quick as he's liked. So that's going to be he's playing, but he's not going to be match fit for a short while. I think it's not imminent. It seems to be the case.
I mean, I think it's a strange move, but it does give Hunt the chance to go and play some football.
Absolutely, well, proper first team football.
Proper football.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've seen Rob Hunt's gone out, Kazenga's gone out, and there's talk of Rowan Ince going out. Anyone else?
Well, Towell, they're talking about going out, aren't they, possibly?
Well, if he's going to be considered a central midfielder and not as an emergency striker, then yes, it probably means he will go out. You reckon? Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, an Ince, again, is a central midfielder. And like I say, if we've got four, even if one of them's Crocs, we've still got enough for rotation. Mm. I suspect that of Towell and Ince, if one of them was going to go out on loan, it will probably be Towell, because I suspect that Ince is probably ahead of him in the pecking order.
Because
I think that's what happened in the FA Cup, wasn't it? Ince came on and not Norwood or not Sidwell, something like that. Certainly Ince came on in the FA Cup, didn't he? So,
yeah. Okay,
Luol Luol getting any game time?
I believe so, yeah.
He came on as a sub against... Son won either way.
He came on the sub at Reading and nearly scored with his first touch, but he has been starting, yes.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he's a decent player, and I still think he's still under contract here next season, I believe, and I think he's still got a lot to offer.
So, if we go up, I can't see him playing in the Premier League, though.
He's a confidence player. On his day, he's as good as anything else we've got.
Really? As good as Knockaert?
Different.
They're all different players, but, you know, I think...
If you're talking about on their day, no, I'd still rather have March and Knockaert ahead of
The problem is Knockaert, definitely. March, I don't like to say this, but March, you know, even this season, people are raving about, you know, that 10 minutes against Birmingham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Can we have that every week?
Yeah.
No, he does seem to have regressed a little bit into being knocked off the ball far too easily, where previously, once he'd actually found his feet last season before he got his injury, he was piling through people. And
he became unplayable at that point, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, he can be that player again. But I said on the show at that time last year, just before he got injured, I was excited when I got on the train coming in to do the show to go to the game, because I was going to see Solly March.
Yeah.
Those box office players come very, very...
Well, Knockaert is clearly it at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. And and Kaz was that player. He was the one that got you off your seat. Yeah. Now, as soon as he got the ball, there was a buzz that something could happen. Now, yes, he lost that yard of pace when he got injured. He's never quite fully recovered from that. And he is very much a player that needs an arm around him. He needs a cuddle.
Yeah, and off Twitter.
Well, just it doesn't matter if he's on Twitter and no one understands it anyway.
Said Al picking fights with 12-year-olds.
Well, this is true. Okay, well,
yeah, but Leeds, they're fair game. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I'm a big fan of Kaz.
It doesn't show.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a nice guy. Okay, let's talk about the FA Cup. Now, we very rarely do we do predictions on this show, but we're going to do it today. So we're going to actually see how... good or bad, because by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on the podcast, the game of all you're taking part has taken place. So, but pick the team.
My umpire and goal.
Yeah.
I think that's a given. I suspect.
No, it's Mimper.
Hoonemeyer and Goldson. Unpronounceably long name chap at right back.
Yep. Hoonemeyer and Goldson at centre back. I suspect Poco would be playing at left back.
Do you not have a QB?
Yeah, no, I think Adekubi, yeah. And I like him.
I like him. I'm not sure Houghton does.
This was my argument before. I mean, Adekubi got...
You saw him at Preston, didn't you?
Yeah.
And he was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't, yeah.
See, this is my argument about Rob Hunt early being thrown in. Adekubi was thrown in when Hunt... I mean, I guess it was Preston and not Sheffield Wednesday, but...
Yeah.
I don't see why Hunt couldn't have been thrown in the same way Adekubi could have been. But
no, I don't either. And Adekubi, no. The times I've seen him play, I've liked him.
Well, Hunt did play against MK Dons, didn't he?
Hunt did, yes.
Yeah. So that would have been my back four. Okay, I could QB, but it could be Poco. It depends on whether Bong is going to be fit or not.
Would you bring Bong straight back?
Well, if Bong is going to be fit, he's in contention. But then, do you want to knacker out Poco? So
no, but would you bring Bong back into the first team?
At the moment, straight away, no.
No.
But I think that Houghton does have his considered first 11, or at least most of it, and the quality. It's like Mayenpar's a perfectly good goalkeeper to have, but Stockdale is the preferred choice.
Yeah, I understand that. But Pocanioli has not only not done anything wrong since
he's done well.
He's done a lot of right.
Yes.
As well.
To be fair, Bong's created a lot of goals this year.
He has.
So, I mean, they're interchangeable as far as I can say. I don't prefer one over the other, but...
No.
But the fact that Poco's had a little bit of a run and he's improving with each game...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think maybe.
Okay. All right, midfield. Are we going to be talking Norwood and Sidwell here? Because they're the...
Norwood's been doing the interviews before the game, so yes, I would say Norwood, yep. Sidwell, I guess, probably March and Murphy, I would say.
Yeah, I think he could give Scalak a run.
I think it would be Scalak, because...
Scalak and Murphy I'd go for.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tal and Hemed.
Yeah.
Poor Hemed doesn't get a rest, does he? This is the only thing that's going to actually do
He's
for
He's had
us.
A rest all season now.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose there's that.
But, I mean, this is the FA Cup now.
So what's the bench then?
We'll worry about that another time. But this is the FA Cup, and I personally see it as being very important to the club and to this team that we continue going at this run. Because in the absence of having a reserve league anymore, there's no football combination.
Mm.
If any players get injured, we need players to come in straight away and be match fit. And they're
Fair
not going to be getting match fit in the under-23 team, are they? So...
Normally I'd agree with you, but very stupidly, I've bought the ticket, the train tickets for Barnsley away. So I need us to lose.
Right. I think Lincoln City are certainly looking forward to the game. I mean, I saw this video up on YouTube, and they've got queues around the corner for it. It seems to be a big game for them. You know, they're top of the conference. They're you know, doing well. And I saw them against, we've discussed it, I saw them against Ipswich, and Ipswich were absolutely appallingly shocking.
Oh, it's not a gimme by any stretch.
They lost 3-0 last week, though, didn't they?
And they lost 5-3 at Whitehawk last season in the Cup. Mm. It's going to be an interesting one. Everything says we ought to do it, but you know, I think that you know Ipswich is a cautionary tale for the Albion.
But looking at the FA Cup as a whole, obviously they're saying it's the famous cup, this magical competition. I do wish that the top clubs would actually start treating it that way, and rather than just something to give their reserves a game. I know that
says the Albion giving their reserves a game.
That does completely contradict what I've just said, but. You know, the likes of Stoke or West Brom, they're not going to be winning any the Premier League anytime soon.
No.
This is an opportunity for them to go out and have a cup run, maybe get to the Wembley final, win a medal.
Yeah.
Play in Europe. It's not just...
Well, this is one of the issues about the fact that the cash is so ridiculously top-loaded onto the Premier League. Where you got such obscene amounts that could buy so many hospitals and could actually just, you know, do so much good for society as a whole that is actually given to a few footballers, that there is no incentive whatsoever. And if you haven't got the incentive of playing against the top sides, then the lower sides, yes, while they're happy to get a few quid. I mean, yeah, Lincoln are in for a reasonable payday tomorrow. Good for them. The Albion will get a few quid on the back if we get through. You know, it's another few grand in the kitty. You know, fights off FFP if we don't make it up, that kind of thing. You're saying it's Stoke and West Brom. It's their chance for silverware. But also it's our chance of silverware if we really felt like it. Because, you know, we've got such a scrap against Newcastle. If the such important thing was winning the championship, our first aim is to go up rather than specifically win the league. I'm sure we'll get a nice little trinket for finishing second if we need to. But so I can understand the point about a reserve side going out there, but it's only that the cup has lost its luster, principally because
Manchester United.
On there every single time.
Well, they killed it. Manchester
what would
United
you do to change
it?
Would you give? Would you put a Champions League place for the winner?
A Champions League place and a lot of more money might do it.
Yes.
I mean, that seems to be the only thing that motivates people anymore. So I can't think of any other
it's
way.
It's Tom's Hapenny in comparison to what the Premier League...
I mean, I think it's a shame because I'm actually really looking forward to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to a new ground.
Today.
You're on the road, aren't you?
I'm on the road, yeah. I'm going to a new ground.
Yeah.
You know, to see a team who are playing well. I'm talking about Lincoln.
Yeah.
Team who are playing well, whose fans are really up for it. You know, it should
but
be
you're
a good,
also not
going to
have you're not going to have the sickly nerves of
I'm
a league game.
I'm not
going to
have the
well.
Sickly nerves either. Yeah. No.
So you might actually. I can see why you'd enjoy
might
it.
Might actually enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it should be good. I mean, yes, it's one of those where you think, well, you know, yes, the Albion are playing, but and yes, we'll be a story if we lose. It's a cup shock and everything like that. Great, but I think that seeing as we've got our focus
and we're gonna
for the
win.
Season,
I mean, you know, the MK Dons game was just a formality, wasn't it? We just went out there and we won.
Yeah.
Was it.
Although they had a big beast, and Lincoln have got a big beast up front as well. So.
Well, we'll find out how well we got on choosing the side next week. That is all we've got time for. So thank you, of course, to Matthew Potter and to Alan Wares. I'm Aidy Packham. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. Thanks. Bye.